Look ahead.
It's the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. It's the Law Monday, and we'll begin our last book in that section with Deuteronomy 1 through 3. The website is lifespringmedia.com, and I'll have contact information at the end. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for bringing us together here to read your word. I pray that you would bless this time. Teach us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, are you ready? Let's begin.
Well, here in the beginning of Deuteronomy, the children of Israel are on the threshold of entering into the promised land. God has led them in the wilderness for 40 years, not because it took that long to walk from Egypt to this place, but because of their rebellion. Near the beginning of their journey, they turned from God to worship a golden calf. And because of that, God told them that that generation would never enter the promised land. But now there's a new generation. All of the old generation was dead, and God was about to fulfill his promise to give this land to this generation. But because of Moses' disobedience at Meribah, God told him that he would not enter the promised land either. So, knowing that he would not be going with them, Moses spoke to all of Israel when they were about to cross over into Canaan, the promised land. Now, the word Deuteronomy means second law, and this book is a sermon or a series of messages from God through Moses to Israel. We need to remember that none of this generation was old enough to remember when God gave the tablets of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So Deuteronomy is a second giving of the law because God wanted this new generation to follow his commands. He didn't want them to fail as their parents had. And God knew that Moses would not be there to lead them, so he directed Moses to remind them of how God had delivered them from their captivity in Egypt and what happened in the 40 years since that miraculous event. And he wanted to remind them, or perhaps for some of them to teach them for the first time, of God's laws. You know, we humans have short memories, don't we? We need to be reminded again and again. When we look back at history, that fact seems evident. I won't go into detail here, but what we're living through right now is proof of that. Just about 75 years ago, World War II was fought and fascism was beat back by the forces of freedom. And now fascism is making a comeback, using another name, socialism or democratic socialism or even wokeism, etc. How could this happen? After World War II, the cry was, never again. But here we are. This is happening because my generation shamefully neglected to teach or remind the next generation of the lessons learned in World War II. Well, God, through Moses, back here in Deuteronomy now, reminded the generation about to enter Canaan about the lessons that were learned. And more than that, Deuteronomy was and is a book for all generations. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 3 times when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Commentator J.A. Thompson wrote, quote, Deuteronomy is one of the greatest books of the Old Testament. Its influence on the domestic and personal religion of all ages has not been surpassed by any other book in the Bible. It is quoted over 80 times in the New Testament, and thus it belongs to a small group of 4 Old Testament books, the others being Genesis, Psalms, and Isaiah, to which the early Christians made frequent reference. Unquote. Let's begin the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1. These are the words that Moses spoke to all the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness east of the Jordan River. They were camped in the Jordan Valley near Suf, between Paran on one side, and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab on the other. Normally it takes only 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, going by way of Mount Seir. But 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them everything the Lord had commanded him to say. This took place after he had defeated King Sihon of the Amorites, who had ruled in Heshbon, and King Og of Bashan, who had ruled in Ashtaroth and Edrei. While the Israelites were in the land of Moab, east of the Jordan River, Moses carefully explained the Lord's instructions as follows. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, You have stayed at this mountain long enough. It is time to break camp and move on. Go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the neighboring regions, the Jordan Valley, the hill country, the western foothills, the Negev, and the coastal plain. Go to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, and all the way to the great Euphrates River. Look, I am giving all this land to you. Go in and occupy it, for it is the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all their descendants. Moses continued, At that time I told you, You are too great a burden for me to carry all by myself. The Lord your God has increased your population, making you as numerous as the stars. And may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he promised. But you are such a heavy load to carry. How can I deal with all your problems and bickering? Choose some well-respected men from each tribe who are known for their wisdom and understanding, and I will appoint them as your leaders. Then you responded, Your plan is a good one. So I took the wise and respected men you had selected from your tribes and appointed them to serve as judges and officials over you. Some are responsible for 1,000 people, some for 100, some for 50, and some for 10. At that time I instructed the judges, You must hear the cases of your fellow Israelites and the foreigners living among you. Be perfectly fair in your decisions and impartial in your judgments. Hear the cases of those who are poor as well as those who are rich. Don't be afraid of anyone's anger, for the decision you make is God's decision. Bring me any cases that are too difficult for you, and I will handle them. At that time, I gave you instructions about everything you were to do. Then, just as the Lord our God commanded us, we left Mount Sinai and traveled through the great and terrifying wilderness, as you yourselves remember, and headed toward the hill country of the Amorites. When we arrived at Kadesh Barnea, I said to you, You have now reached the hill country of the Amorites that the Lord our God is giving us. Look, he has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. But you all came to me and said, First, let's send out scouts to explore the land for us. They will advise us on the best route to take and which towns we should enter. This seemed like a good idea to me, so I chose 12 scouts, one from each of your tribes. They headed for the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and explored it. They picked up some of its fruit and brought it back to us, and they reported, The land the Lord our God has given us is indeed a good land. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and refused to go in. You complained in your tents and said, The Lord must hate us. That's why he has brought us here from Egypt, to hand us over to the Amorites to be slaughtered. Where can we go? Our brothers have demoralized us with their report. They tell us, The people of the land are taller and more powerful than we are, and their towns are large, with walls rising high into the sky. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. But I said to you, Don't be shocked or afraid of them. The Lord your God is going ahead of you. He will fight for you, just as you saw him do in Egypt. And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness, just as a father cares for his child. Now he has brought you to this place. But even after all he did, You refused to trust the Lord your God, who goes before you looking for the best places to camp, guiding you with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. When the Lord heard your complaining, he became very angry. So he solemnly swore, Not one of you from this wicked generation will live to see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb son of Jephunneh. He will see the land because he has followed the Lord completely. I will give to him and his descendants some of the very land he explored during his scouting mission. And the Lord was also very angry with me because of you. He said to me, Moses, not even you will enter the promised land. Instead, your assistant, Joshua son of Nun, will lead the people into the land. Encourage him, for he will lead Israel as they take possession of it. I will give the land to your little ones, your innocent children. You were afraid they would be captured, but they will be the ones who occupy it. As for you, turn around now and go back through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Then you confessed, We have sinned against the Lord. We will go into the land and fight for it as the Lord our God has commanded us. So your men strapped on their weapons, thinking it would be easy to attack the hill country. But the Lord told me to tell you, do not attack, for I am not with you. If you go ahead on your own, you will be crushed by your enemies. This is what I told you, but you would not listen. Instead, you again rebelled against the Lord's command and arrogantly went into the hill country to fight. But the Amorites who lived there came out against you like a swarm of bees. They chased and battered you all the way from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but he refused to listen. So you stayed there at Kadesh for a long time. Deuteronomy chapter 2. We went back into the desert, following the road that goes to the Red Sea as the Lord had told me. For a long time we traveled around the region of Mount Seir. The Lord said to me, you've traveled around this region long enough. Now go north. Give the people these instructions. You're going to pass through the territory of your relatives, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. They'll be afraid of you, but be very careful. Don't start a fight with them because I'm not giving you any of their land, not even to stand on. I've given Esau's descendants the region of Mount Seir as their property. You must pay them in silver for the food you eat and the water you drink. The Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched over you as you traveled through this vast desert. For 40 years now, the Lord your God has been with you, and you haven't needed a thing. So we passed by our relatives, the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir. We turned off the road that goes through the plains to Elath and Ezion-Geber, and took the road that goes through the desert of Moab. The Lord said to me, don't bother the people of Moab or start a war with them. I'm not giving you any of Ar as your property. I have given it to the descendants of Lot. The Emites used to live there. These people were as strong, as numerous, and as tall as the people of Anak. They were thought to be Rephaim, like the people of Anak, but the Moabites called them Emites. The Horites used to live in Seir, but the descendants of Esau claimed their land, wiped them out, and took their place, as Israel did in the land that the Lord gave them. Then the Lord said, now cross the Zered River. So we crossed the Zered River. 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered River. During that time, all our soldiers from that generation died as the Lord had sworn they would. In fact, it was the Lord himself who got rid of all of them until none were left in the camp. When the last of these soldiers had died, the Lord said to me, today you are going to pass by the border of Moab at Ar. When you come near the Ammonites, don't bother them or start a fight with them. I'm not giving you any of the land that I have already given to the descendants of Lot as their property. This land was thought of as the land of the Rephaim, who used to live there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzummim. These people were as strong, as numerous, and as tall as the people of Anak. But the Lord wiped them out before the Ammonites came, so that the Ammonites claimed their land and took their place. The Lord did the same thing for the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir. Before the descendants of Esau came, he wiped out the Horites so that Esau's descendants claimed their land and took their place. Esau's descendants are still there today. The same thing happened to the Avites who lived in villages as far away as Gaza. The Kaphtorites, who came from Crete, wiped them out and took their place. The Lord continued, now break camp. Cross the Arnon Valley. I'm going to hand King Sihon of Heshbon, the Amorite, over to you. Fight him and take possession of his country. Today I will start to make all the people under heaven terrified of you. When they hear about you, they will tremble and shake because of you. From the desert of Kedemoth I sent messengers to King Sihon of Heshbon with the following offer of peace. If you allow us to travel through your country, we'll go straight through and won't ever leave the road. We'll pay you in silver for the food we eat and the water we drink. Please let us go through as the descendants of Esau who live in Seir and the Moabites who live in Ar did for us. We'll keep going until we cross the Jordan River into the land the Lord our God is giving us. But King Sihon of Heshbon wouldn't allow us to pass through. The Lord your God made him stubborn and overconfident in order to hand him over to you as he has now done. The Lord said to me, I have begun to give you Sihon and his country. Go ahead, take possession of his land. Sihon and all his troops came out to meet us in battle at Jahaz. The Lord our God gave Sihon to us, and we defeated him, his sons, and all his troops. At that time, we captured all his cities and claimed them for God by destroying men, women, and children. There were no survivors. However, we did loot the cities that were captured, taking the cattle and goods. From a rower on the edge of the Arnon Valley and the city in that valley as far as Gilead, no city had walls that could keep us out. The Lord our God gave us all of them. But the Lord our God had forbidden you to go anywhere near the land of the Ammonites. So you didn't enter the land along the bank of the Jabbok River or capture the cities in the mountains. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Next we turned and went up along the road toward Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, with his whole army, marched out to meet us in battle at Edrei. The Lord said to me, "Do not be afraid of him, for I have delivered him into your hands, along with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon." So the Lord our God also gave into our hands Og, king of Bashan, and all his army. We struck them down, leaving no survivors. At that time we took all his cities. There was not one of the 60 cities that we did not take from them, the whole region of Argob, Og's kingdom in Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls and with gates and bars, and there were also a great many unwalled villages. We completely destroyed them, as we had done with Sihon, king of Heshbon, destroying every city, men, women, and children. But all the livestock and the plunder from their cities we carried off for ourselves. So at that time we took from these two kings of the Amorites the territory east of the Jordan, and from the Arnon Gorge as far as Mount Hermon. Hermon is called Syrian by the Sidonians. The Amorites call it Sinir. We took all the towns on the plateau, and all Gilead and all Bashan as far as Salica and Edrei, towns of Og's kingdom in Bashan. Og, king of Bashan, was the last of the Rephaites. His bed was decorated with iron and was more than 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. It is still in Rabbah of the Ammonites. Of the land that we took over at that time, I gave the Reubenites and the Gadites the territory north of Aroer by the Arnon Gorge, including half the hill country of Gilead, together with its towns. The rest of Gilead, and also of Bashan, the kingdom of Og, I gave to the half-tribe of Manasseh. The whole region of Argob in Bashan used to be known as a land of the Rephaites. Jair, a descendant of Manasseh, took the whole region of Argob as far as the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites. It was named after him so that to this day Bashan is called Havoth-Jair. And I gave Gilead to Machir. But to the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave the territory extending from Gilead down to the Arnon Gorge, the middle of the gorge being the border, and out to the Jabbok River, which is the border of the Ammonites. Its western border was the Jordan in the Arabah, from Kinnereth to the Sea of the Arabah, that is, the Dead Sea, below the slopes of Pisgah. I commanded you at that time, "The Lord your God has given you this land to take possession of it. But all your able-bodied men, armed for battle, must cross over ahead of the other Israelites. However, your wives, your children, and your livestock, I know you have much livestock, may stay in the towns I have given you until the Lord gives rest to your fellow Israelites as he has to you. And they too have taken over the land that the Lord your God is giving them across the Jordan. After that, each of you may go back to the possession I have given you." At that time I commanded Joshua, "You have seen with your own eyes all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms over there where you are going. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you." At that time I pleaded with the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works you do? Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country and Lebanon. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me." "That is enough," the Lord said. "Do not speak to me any more about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross this Jordan. But commission Joshua, and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across, and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see." So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. Well, beloved, over and over again, as we read how God directed them to take new portions of the promised land, God told them through Moses, "See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Well, in other words, they're told, God has already won. He's given you the victory. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Beloved, are you afraid? Are you discouraged? Is there a battle in your life that seems to have you defeated? Something that you just can't get victory over? Well, if you've put your faith in Jesus, then you have everything you need to claim victory. Jesus defeated sin and death because of his death on the cross and resurrection on the third day. If you belong to Jesus, the chains of sin are broken. You're no longer a slave to it. Leave it behind as the children of Israel left the wilderness behind when they entered into the promised land. Don't look back. Look ahead. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the promise of a new life. You have only to claim it. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
Don't be discouraged. Look up. God is on the throne. What are your thoughts? Do you have comments or questions? Contact information is at the end. Or if you have a modern podcast app, comment via Boostergram. Tomorrow will be History Tuesday, and we'll read 2 Chronicles 21 through 24. I want to thank those of you who have written in to me in one way or another about the lovely Lady Leanne's chest pain episode the other day. I can't read them all, but here's a representative email that came in from Leo Bravo. He said, "I hope everything is going well with you and Leanne. Please know you're in my thoughts and prayers." Many of you have sent similar notes, and Leanne and I appreciate your concerns and your prayers. Thank you so much. And as of right now, we're still waiting for her doctor to return her call to schedule an appointment. It is a bit frustrating, to tell you the truth. We'll be leaving for our vacation on the 27th, and it would be great to have some answers before then, but this is part of being with an HMO, I suppose. Her chest pain has diminished quite a bit, but it's still there, so we'll just have to see what happens. Hopefully, we'll get that doctor's appointment.
Boostergram.
A boost came in today from S. Marquin 3 from the Fountain app. He sent 714 sats in, and he said, "God bless." Well, the 714, of course, is in regards to the 714 Club, and I just want to say thank you, Sebastian. Yes, I do know his name because he also went over to 714club.org to say, "I'm in." And there aren't very many Marquins that write this show anyway, so S. Marquin 3 has got to be Sebastian Marquin. So again, thank you, Sebastian. You are on the list. Now, beloved, if you also would like to join some of us here in the LifeSpring family who are praying every day at either 7:14 a.m. or p.m. or both, I invite you to go to 714club.org to add your name. Why 714 Club? Well, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said, "If my people who were called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Well, what with the way things are going here in the U.S. and actually around the world, we would like to see God bring a healing to our land. Again, not just here, but around the world. We're praying and seeking God's face. We're confessing our sins and asking Him to reveal to us if there's anything in our lives that are not pleasing to Him. We're asking Him to move on the hearts of those who are in office so that they will begin to make better decisions so that the evil that is becoming so prevalent will be defeated. And we're also asking that His will would be done. Will you join us? Set an alarm on your device for 7:14 to remind you to pray. Then go to 714club.org and add your name. There are encouraging signs around the world that a revival could be beginning. But I believe that we do need to pray.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
I'd love to hear from you. If you have a comment, if you have a question, a prayer request, or a praise report, this is the way to reach me. To leave a voice message, call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Or for prayer requests and praise reports, you can also go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. And for comments or questions, you can go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. And don't forget those boostergrams. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Sister Denise, thank you. Michael Hainer, thank you. Brother Scott, thank you. Jason Pascal, thank you. And Sister Brittany, thank you. You all do so much to help me with the show, and I appreciate it. God bless you. Today, Jason Pascal did the album art for the show. And thank you, beloved, for hanging out with me. I'll see you tomorrow, and until then, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
The LifeSpring 1-Year Bible is solely supported by your value for value donations of time, talent, or treasure.